So I'm going to preach us today. We've been going through the series This Life, looking at different characters in the book of Proverbs. We looked last week at marriage. We've looked at the sluggard, the fool, the mocker, and today we are looking at the gossip. What I'd love to do is just bring our hearts to God just and pray for us before we kick into this, and then we'll take it from there. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for your word. And we just pray that this morning you would come and speak to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you change lives. And even in this room, every week, we know lives are changing. We pray even this morning, God, that you would change us, that you would open our eyes, show us what it is to know you and to and how best to use our words in a community and in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we don't have the video today of Tommy doing the Bible verses, so I thought I'd do it in a Birmingham accent myself. No, I'm not going to do that. There's actually quite a lot of verses we're going to look at today, and I'm going to look at them as we go through the talk. So, the gossip. Quick dictionary definition I found. Casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details which are not confirmed as true. Gossip. In our culture, in our society, I think it's quite fair to say we love a bit of gossip. I'm not saying for you personally necessarily, but in our culture, we're a culture and society that loves to gossip, talking about somebody when they're not in the room. It's happening all the time. Very normal part of just 21st century life. Hey, guess what? Did you hear about so-and-so? Hey, you never guess what happened the other day. Did you hear that? This is happening all the time. And obviously, maybe most obviously, actually, in the media, celebrity gossip is huge. Royal family gossip. Massive magazines, newspapers sold on what? Gossip. Telling people just what's going on. A little glance at Hello magazine this week. Chris Martin's new girlfriend. All you need to know about Annabelle Wallace. I don't know if they had an interview with her or they've just done some background, but it's everything that you need to know about her. Another article, Nicole Kidman's daughter Isabel starts married life in Croydon. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman's adopted daughter, dot, 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 dot. Oh, wow, yeah, they had an adopted daughter. She's starting life in Croydon. Let's find out about her. Magazines, papers, it's a millions and millions of pound industry. People are buying this stuff. They love to find out what's going on. If it's not Hello Magazine for you, it will be something. There will be somebody that you're interested in that you'd love to know about. Twitter, the blogosphere, it's a huge industry. But it's not just out there, is it? It's in here, it's between friendships, it's a personal thing. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know that James did this last week? This kind of thing happens all the time. It's all around us, and we drift into gossip without even realizing it. It's so natural, it so flows out of us. But there's something about gossip that we often don't realize, and that's this. Your opinion on somebody is so often shaped and formed by what you've heard through gossip. Let me just explain what I mean by that. When I was younger, I had a person that I knew, and you don't know them, don't worry, and I was talking to somebody else. And they said, do you know that person? They've got really big ears. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, yeah, yeah. They're actually quite insecure about it. They've got really big ears. And I'd known this person a few years. I'd not even thought anything about it, never noticed. Next time I was speaking to them, while we were having a conversation, all I could see was just like this. And outwardly, I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, my goodness, you're so right. They're huge. And I was just like, gosh. But here's what's interesting. I'd known that person for a few years. Talked to them at church here and there, whatever. I'd never noticed that. Never. And I'm quite an observant person. It wasn't like Dumbo, don't worry. But because somebody told me about it, sort of gossiped about it behind sort of closed doors, that totally shaped the way I look at them and changed the way that I saw them. Now, that's quite a slightly humorous example, but it can be way more serious. You can let your whole opinion on somebody be completely changed because of something you've heard about them. And it might not even be true. And the way that you are towards somebody and the way that you see them and you judge them is totally through this lens that you don't even know is true. I've had somebody not talk to me for a month before because of something I did. I knew something wasn't quite right. I said, hey, are we okay? They're like, what's going on? And he's just like, I just couldn't believe it. You did this, this, and this. I was like, I did what? That wasn't what happened at all. And it's a case of like Chinese whispers and thinking something else, and then they just got the wrong end of the stick. And now, because of that, for a whole month, they just totally like gave him the cold shoulder. But this kind of thing isn't unusual. Your opinions, even the people in this room, are often not just shaped by your personal experiences of them, but of what you know about them through other people. And so we learn that actually words have power. What you communicate, what you say, what you gossip, it shapes and forms your opinion on somebody, then affects your behavior, but underneath it, it might not even be true. So words have power. I remember the first time I watched Downton Abbey when it first came out a few years ago, back when it was actually quite good and they stopped killing people. One of the things that really struck me was just how much gossip there is. Like down in the servants' quarters doing stuff, they're just like back chatting about people all the time, talking about people behind their backs, but also using it quite divisively, even making up stories and rumors to affect somebody's behavior so that they don't like this person and then they can be chosen and favored instead. And they're using gossip divisively to affect people and their opinions of stuff. That's one example. There'll be many, many more. Gossip is a powerful, powerful force. So we're going to dive straight in just to a verse in James to help us see this. James 3, verse 5, it says this. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Let's just be obedient to this verse for a moment. Let's consider that. It's true, isn't it? A huge forest can go down with one match. One match. What it's saying is the tongue. Drop gossip into a community and the effects can be devastating. Devastating. Another verse, it says in Proverbs 16:28. It says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Even close friends can be separated. How? By a gossip. Even close friends, just by bad mouthing, bad talking. I thought we were really close. What happened? Gossip got in. That's what happened. So community, dropping gossip, it can act like a cancer. It can infect, can bring disunity, distrust, and it can destroy. You might think, oh, it's all right. It's not that bad, Simon. It's all very harmless. It's a bit of fun. It's a bit of chit-chat. It's a bit of info. It's a bit of catch-up. That can all be harmless. It can all be fine until that gossip comes about you. And when you're on the receiving end of gossip, when people are talking about you behind your back, when people are talking negatively about something you've done, it's a different story. And maybe it's something that you've done wrong. You're an idiot. Maybe you just did something silly. And now it gets talked about and then talked about. And there's a sense of shame. And who knows about it? Everyone knows about it. You feel a bit exposed. Maybe it's not even something that is true. Maybe it's something that's false. Just Chinese whispers. And all of a sudden, people are talking about something that hasn't even happened. When you're on the receiving end of gossip, it's a different story. And so you might think, oh, it's harmless. It's okay. But actually, we're talking about people's lives. People's lives. Gossip is actually about people's lives. It's the same for celebrities too. Have you ever seen this? When you see a celebrity, maybe on a chat show or something, who've been through a lot of trauma and been in the papers and everything, and you so often hear this from celebrities, and they're asking questions, how was that for you? Is it true? And they often say this, it's a bit of a cliche, they say, don't believe everything that you read in the papers. And we know that, we've heard that before, but they talk about it. You realize so much stuff that gets written about just isn't even true. It's not true. If you think, oh, there's just some person up there, they're okay. They're still people. And they're being publicly slandered, just talked about behind their back. They're not able to defend themselves, just being absolutely slandered. It's real people with real lives. It's always fine until it's about you. But we live in a society that doesn't just like dip its toes in gossip. No, the society and culture we live in is like propped up by it. It's so a part of our culture. Magazines, papers, millions of pounds, blogs, saturated. Gossip is just totally normal. Totally normal. No one would think twice watching a chat like, oh, I can't believe those papers do that. We know that's what happens. Not every paper, you know, not every person or every journalist, but it happens. It does happen. But we know the effects on our friendships and on our community can be devastating. So, we're going through this life. What does the book of Proverbs have to say on gossip? What does the Bible have to say? A few verses to help us explore this theme and have a look at that. Proverbs 18, verse 8. Let's have a look at this together. I'm reading this from the NIV translation just because it helps us the way it says it. Proverbs 8, verse 8. The words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Again, Proverbs 26, 22. The words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Two verses exactly the same. Delicious morsels. This summer, I went to a wedding, and the wedding had quite a big budget, and you walked into the reception, handed your glass of champagne, and they came out with these canapés. I've had canapés, but there are canapés, and then there are canapés. I was like, hang about. They had sliced up like this medium rare succulent bit of steak on this little bit of like toast with some amazing sauce, and I was like, oh my word, that is incredible. There was another one that came by. It was like some freshly like deep fried chicken strips. You might hear chicken strips and think like whatever, but it was stunning. They were like amazing battery coated stuff. It was like this creamy dip. And I'm in that dilemma of like, I'm starving hungry. There are some amazing canapés right now. Do I eat them all now or do I wait for the main course? If this is the canapés, what's the main course like? But I got over that. I paced myself well. What was going on? These were delicious little canapés. They were stunning little morsels. What does Proverbs 18 say? It says, the words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. When you hear gossip, when you hear a bit of information about somebody, what's going on there? It's like delicious morsels. We love it. It's tasty. Oh, tell me more. And that's just as a hearer. Maybe if you're the person who's speaking, have you ever had that? You're armed with some really amazing gossip. Hey man, did you hear about so-and-so? And the words, they're just like delicious to listen to and to speak. Gossip tastes good. We like the taste of gossip. We even have the phrase, I've got some juicy gossip. You heard that? Hey, you want to hear some juicy gossip? What's that? It's Proverbs 18. It's delicious morsels. It's rare steak, canapés. It's juicy gossip. It tastes delicious. But the verse goes on to say, like delicious morsels, they go down to the inmost parts. So actually, gossip isn't just about speech, just about your words or your tongue. There's something about it that goes down to the inmost parts. It's a bit more holistic. It's not just your mouth. It's actually more about your heart. So I want to ask the question today, why does gossip taste so good? Why do we love it so much? We love hearing inside information. We love sharing it to other people. Why does it go down to the inmost parts? What is it involving here? Let's diagnose this a bit more. I'm going to pick out a couple of reasons. Number one, significance. In the world that we live in general, knowledge is power. Those who are in the know usually equal people of slightly more significance in a circle or environment. Let me explain. Imagine in a company. The managers of a company would know things that the employees don't. And the directors of that company would know things that the managers don't. So in general, those who are more in the know would be in more positions of significance. If you're in that situation and say somebody, your manager comes up to you and just calls you into the office and shares with you some inside company stuff that you know that your colleagues don't know, and they say to you, now keep this to yourself, it plays that sense of significance. Oh, wow, he trusts me. Oh, she thinks well of me. Oh, wow. And hearing that information, think, oh, wow, they must like me. You feel like your value and your worth in that company. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just the way the world works. That's just a fact of humanity. Knowledge is power. It's like, I'm in. Before, I didn't know that, but now I know something and I'm in. I'm involved. I'm in the circle. How does gossip fit into that? Well, think about it. Gossip is also knowledge, isn't it? Gossip is info. You find out some gossip, you're in. You're in the know. They're not, but you are, you know. Before you were out, but now you're in. And you can play to a sense of significance. That's just listening to gossip. Somebody that you know or you look up to, just like, oh mate, guess what? This. So, oh wow, okay. You feel a sense of acceptance. You feel significance. But what about when you're the one of the gossip? You're the one of the knowledge. You've got some juicy gossip. Your sense of just like significance kind of rockets up a little bit. You think, oh, they don't know, but I do. And I can tell you, in the act of sharing with somebody, telling someone it's delicious, you're in, you're both in. They're not. You almost do some sort of power play over people, like you know something that they don't. But it plays to your sense of significance. You're the one of the knowledge. You've got juicy gossip. Knowledge is power. C.S. Lewis has written a paper on this called The Inner Ring. The Inner Ring. Looking at this natural phenomenon of, in all kinds of different contexts, there's these rings. You're either out of it or you're in. You're in. You're in the ring. And all kinds of information and knowledge can mean that you're in or out. Brilliant, brilliant paper. Just Google C.S. Lewis, The Inner Ring, and you'll find it. It'll be at the top. But he's saying this desire to be in the ring, in the know, is a powerful, powerful force. The lure, to want to know, to be in. Gossip can create rings, can make people feel that in or out. When you know you're in, it feels so good. You've been there, haven't you? Maybe someone shared some information with you that maybe, you know, perhaps you shouldn't know, or they've sort of chosen to tell you. It does. It makes you feel good about yourself, feel more significant. We all want to be in the know. If there's a scandal, you want to be on the know. What happened? Tell me the details. If there's some goss. What's the problem here, though? What's the problem here? This sense of significance, you know what? It doesn't actually last. Yeah, you're in the ring, but you soon find out there's actually another ring. You're not in. Whether it's the corporate ladder, you find out some information, but you're not on the top. And you keep going and keep going. Maybe it's your friendships. You find out some gossip, I'm in. But it's not long before that comes old gossip. Oh yeah, no, I knew that already. Tell me something else. And you're looking for something new. And you can go further and further and further, but you'll never actually reach the end. And as long as you're governed by this desire to be in, to be significant, you're never actually going to get what you want. It's like trying to peel an onion. And you keep peeling. And at the end, there's actually going to be nothing. You'll have nothing there. And so until you conquer this fear of being an outsider, you're just going to remain an outsider. Yes, knowledge is power. That is the way the world works in general. That's why gossip can be so delicious. But if you're basing your sense of significance on that, you're never going to be happy. And C.S. Lewis goes on to say, the quest of the inner ring will break your hearts until you break it. So that's the first thing I'll suggest. It plays to a sense of significance. The second thing is security. We like hearing gossip about other people because it often makes us feel better about ourselves. There's something about discussing other people's weaknesses, other people's insecurities, other people's failings and failures, other people's issues that actually makes you feel kind of a bit more built up and good about yourself. We like looking down on people sometimes. It can make you feel better. It's like by comparison, look down on somebody, you sort of feel like, yeah, I feel good about myself. Especially when it's in a gossipy way with somebody else. Yeah, I can't believe they did that. Yeah, I'd never do that. Oh, wasn't that terrible? And in the act of doing that, you're actually sort of enjoying the fact that it makes you feel better. Part of the reason why this gossip can be so delicious. At least I'm not like that. And so the temptation to gossip about people is so strong, so luring. It can make you feel so good. But again, what's the problem here? Well, think about it. That is incredibly selfish. Gossiping about somebody else so that it makes you feel better, that's totally self-centered. Talking negatively, we know that's a destructive force. In a community, in a friendship, even separating close friends, doing that, why? Because you can feel better. That's a selfish thing. And what's more, you know what? It doesn't even work. You might feel better for a moment, but again, not for long. For long, you need someone else to gossip about. You need somebody else to talk about their problems, talk about their weaknesses. And so what you have behind you is just like a trail of destruction from your words. Doesn't get to the heart. Yeah, actually, the second thing is actually can be quite proud, really, if you think about it. Like, who made you the judge of these people? Who puts you in a seat where you can judge, oh, they're bad, aren't they? You know what? You don't even know all the facts. This is so true, isn't it? With gossip. We can make judgments on people. We don't even know the whole story. Just get a little wind of a couple of things and completely judge them. Oh, that was terrible. You know, a good judge gets all the facts and makes a decision and a judgment on that. We're judging people just on a few things that we've heard. That's bad judgment. That's actually quite proud, quite self-centered. Putting yourself in the middle of it, I know what I'm talking about. You're judging their behavior. We so often can assume the worst of people, actually not the best. We see a bit of the picture and judge. And it leaves you feeling secure and good about yourself for a moment, but actually doesn't make you secure. It makes you feel secure for a moment. So gossip, it's not just about speech. We know it tastes good. It sort of feels good to hear it, feels good to speak it. Not just about your words, there's something about these delicious morsels that goes to the inner parts of the body. And you look what's kind of beneath the surface a little bit in your heart. I think we all want to feel significant. We want to be in the ring. We all want to feel good about ourselves. And so the lure to gossip is so strong, so strong. What does the Bible say about this? Stop gossiping. It's so bad. All of you, just stop it. No, that's not good news. That's just hard work. This is what the Bible does. Jesus comes to help us and he deals with the hearts. Yes, he does speak to us about our mouths, but doesn't just go straight there. He deals with the heart. So what I want to do just for the next 10 minutes or so, let's look at this Jesus. Let's see what he's like, shall we? When we look at the life of Jesus, when you read through the books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just lots of documentation about Jesus' life, just biographies about him, the way he was with people. One thing you never read is this. All right, lads, what's the goss? Oh, let me in. What are you talking about? Jesus never says that. Why is that? He's not looking for a sense of significance to be in the ring. Why? Because he knows he's God's son. Hey, I know my father loves me. I'm accepted. I have a calling. I have a destiny. His desire, the desire to be in the ring, doesn't even touch Jesus. He knows his significance comes from God. He's never like, oh, what are you guys talking about? Let me in. He's not looking to be in the in crowd. He's finding his total significance from God, his father. Do you know what? There's also no record of Jesus gossiping. No place where you can read Jesus slandering others. You never see like, oi, lads, listen up. You never guess what Peter did. 3 times he denied me. He was all like, I'm the best disciple. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you, Jesus, till the end. And then he goes and denies me 3 times. What an idiot. Jesus does not say that. You never see Jesus talking about anybody else like that. There are times he brings warnings about the Pharisees, like beware of the Pharisees, but he doesn't do it in a gossipy way. He doesn't get all personal on them. It's just a warning to a friend. That's not gossip. He doesn't do it in a way of just like wanting to be in the ring. In fact, even when Peter did deny him, and everybody knew it, all the disciples knew it, Peter's blown it. And the person who knew it the most was Peter. I'd let him down. What does Jesus do? He takes him away privately and talks to him. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, feed my sheep. He says it 3 times. And in fact, Peter tries to talk about someone else. What about that disciple over there who's coming towards us? And do you know what Jesus says? Yeah, he's bad, isn't he? No, he doesn't say that. He says, leave him with me. I'm talking to you. Even when people are trying to talk about other disciples of Jesus, he's having none of it. Jesus is not a gossip. He's not one to slander or talk about people behind their backs. Why isn't he? Because Jesus' security doesn't come from slandering others. It came from his Father. It came from knowing God. So where gossip can cause distrust and disunity and destruction, do you know what Christ came to bring? He came to bring a sense of love and unity and actually building people up. When you look at this Savior, look at the way he was with people. He's not tearing people down. He's building people up. It's incredible. This is the God that we worship. We've been singing to this morning. This is the one that we love. So the answer to how does the Bible respond to gossip? First up, you look at Christ. Look at this Jesus. What an amazing example, how to live and to not tear people down. But actually, Jesus doesn't just come to be an example. He's come to deal with our hearts. So what about you? When you become a Christ follower, when you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, what you do is you give your life to Jesus, your identity changes. But before it's about me, you're working hard on your appearances, you're trying to look good, be significant. You know, you'd never say that, but that's going on deep in your heart, perhaps. That's what your life's about. But now you follow Jesus, your identity is about him, you belong to him. In fact, you're adopted by him, you're his son, you're his daughter. Your identity is around God. When you realize that your identity is, oh, I'm God's son, you realize what he thinks of you, the value and the significance that you have in his eyes, the security just completely frees you. It liberates you from having to find it somewhere else. It's not just a sense of significance, that you get from an important boss or a popular person, no, it's actual significance from a God who's predestined you and called you and chosen you to be his son. And one of the things is that when you know God like this, when you know your identity in him, that you find the lure to gossip, the temptation to gossip, totally loses its taste. You don't need to. You just don't need to. Not in a sort of proud way. It just doesn't taste as good anymore. You don't need to because you know actually your significance is God. You find you can walk away. You're not panicking because you're not in. I'm not in. No, you're truly in. You're in Christ. There's no better ring. It doesn't matter what rings you're in and out of in this world, in your company, in your friendship circles, you're in Christ. And when you know that, you actually kind of become untouchable. With your in or out, it doesn't really matter. I know God. It's fine. It frees you up. You don't need to gossip. You don't need that sense of significance. You already have it. It's not some clever trick to get over gossip. This is actually the good news of the gospel. Amen? But secondly, about security. When you become a Christ follower, your identity changes from me, 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 I'm God's son, I'm about him. You find a security in him, a peace and a joy that is unshakable. You know the love of Christ in your life. You know him as your identity. You actually just find, I'm secure. I'm secure in God. This, my friends, is good news. You don't need to slander other people to feel good about yourself. No, you know the love of God. You don't need to talk about other people behind their back as your antidote. No, not that we'd ever call it that intentionally, but these things sit in our hearts. When Christ comes and deals with our hearts, when we know who we are in him, we know that we know God. These things inside of us, they change. This is the good news. This is God dealing with our hearts. It says in Luke 4 that the mouth speaks the overflow of the heart. So if we want to learn today about gossip, what it is about mouth speaking, talking about other people, we can't start there. We know actually this is just a mouthpiece for what's really going on in here. Jesus comes to this place, comes to the inside, gives you a new identity and loves you from the inside out. This is the brilliant, brilliant good news. Another food illustration for you. Sure, you're not surprised. A friend of mine, one of the elders of this church, about 5 weeks ago, he went to an amazing restaurant. It was a Michelin one-star restaurant. And he was describing this to us earlier on in the meeting this week. And he was saying, I've had good food, but this was something else. So it was a five-course meal, and each one came out, and you could just tell every element of it had had hours spent on it. And so when he took a bite, it's almost like he just had to shut his eyes. There was so much flavor and texture. Each little mouthful was just full of just hours of work. It was like, this is another level. And then the next course is just like utterly blown away. You know, gossip can be a delicious canapé, but when you meet Christ, you meet what he's done for you. It's like another level. You meet not just hours of work, but you meet a savior who's given himself, who's died for you, who's taken upon himself all of your sin. You find, man, this tastes so much better. So much better. Psalm 34 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can get to know Christ and find a taste that actually even the tastiest, juiciest gossip doesn't even get close. So even though gossip does taste good, Jesus' answer is something so much better. To live in him, live in your understanding of the gospel, what he's done for you. It tastes so good, it tastes so much better. So, we've gone from the heart, let's go back to the words. We know words have power, power to destroy, but they also have power to build up. So what's God's answer to gossip? Use these words not to tear down, but let's learn to build people up. Ephesians 4. 29, let's have a look at this on the screen together. Ephesians 4, 29 says this, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, on average person a day speaks 20,000 words. Some of you, probably quite a bit more. Some of you, probably quite a bit less. But on average, about 20,000 words a day. Question is for you, how many of those words are you using in corrupt talk? How many of them are you using to build people up and to give grace to those who hear? What's the second word in this verse? Let no. What does no mean? Let a little bit, let some, no, let none, zero. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let's just look at that for a moment. That's quite a convicting verse, isn't it? Here's some good news. You look at the life of Christ, this is exactly what he was like. You read through all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will not see any corrupt talk come out of our Saviour. To everybody, he just give grace to those who hear. All of his words were to build people up and give them grace. Even his stern words were still ministering grace to people. It's what they needed to hear. So for me, I was terrible at this. Early on in my life, I was a terrible, terrible gossip, and I used my words just to slander. A good friend of mine, really, really good friend of mine, I remember when we were in our teens, we used to just hang out all the time, just late at night, have a drink, just chat about people, just gossip. Totally opposite to this, so much corruption in our mouths. I came across this verse, and actually the other one in Proverbs we looked at earlier, and felt so much conviction just from God. So I just don't do that at all. Started to realize the power negatively that words can have. I need to stop being like this. So for me, what repentance looked like, just saying to God, I'm sorry, I've totally not lived like this at all. I'm not just saying sorry, repentance is turning away. For me, the way that I repented, I made a resolve that I wouldn't speak negatively about anybody. As best as I could, with God's help, I knew I needed to make a complete U-turn. From now on, God, I'm going to resolve to not speak negatively about anybody. But in fact, I even went a bit further, just thinking, God, I know this is so ingrained in me and I need to repent of it. Anytime I feel the temptation to speak negatively about somebody, I'm going to purposefully speak positively about them. And I knew there were times when I was like in a situation about to slag someone off and I was like, oh, there it is. I was purposely made a decision just to say something positive about them, even though it's through gritted teeth. But actually, it's not hard to speak positively about people. And I had to train myself out of it. And that's what repentance looked like for me. Step one for some of you today is who actually just need to repent. In terms of Ephesians 4:29, man, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Oh, I'm doing this all of the time. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn away from that way. Say, God, I need your help, to ask for his forgiveness. And then turn away. But the good news is, in your heart, you can know forgiveness instantly. You haven't got to pay for your sins in some way. No, that's not the gospel. Christ has paid for it all. I don't work hard so that God would love me again. No, that's not the gospel. I know the love of God. I know my sense of significance and security. But what you can have is the same Spirit of Christ living in you. The same Spirit that on earth didn't talk corruptly to anybody is actually the Spirit that lives in you right now. And he's helping you, leading you, strengthening you to not use your words for slander, but to use your words to build people up. Well, Jesus didn't come to bring slander and disunity. He came to love and build up. That same Spirit is inside of you. So step one for some of you today, even when we take communion, is to come to that cross and think, God, please forgive me in the way that I've been using my words. It's out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. Let him into your heart again today. This is what the Spirit does. He's in you. Bringing unity. As I said, I was terrible at this, but by God's grace, he's helped me a lot over the years. I'm still definitely not perfect, but it's something that is so important for community that we're not gossiping. So just quickly then, last little thing in these final few minutes. What if somebody starts gossiping to you? You've heard this sermon, you think, right, I don't want to be like that. God, I want to learn to not be a gossip. What do you do when you're in that situation and somebody starts gossiping at you? Good question. That happened lots of times, even like a few years ago when I had to make that resolve. I soon found myself in situations where gossip was like right here. And because we're in such a society where gossip is so normal, this is going to be a bit of a problem. Because it's so entrenched in our culture, repentance can't just be a few changes. It's actually quite a major change to the way that we work and think and speak. So here's a few little tips, some things that I do, some other things I've picked of other people, just some hopefully some wisdom things. Really simple thing, if somebody's sort of gossiping to you, just change the subject. Don't have to do it in a really like judgmental way, like, I'm not talking about this. Have you seen the news recently? No, we're not wanting to judge people. We're not doing it from a proud place. Do it in humility. I do this fairly regularly, to be honest with you, but I don't do it to make a point, and I don't think people would even know. You just sort of move the conversation on. That's just a really quick way just to stop gossip. It says in Proverbs somewhere else, it says that without fuel, a fire goes out. Without fuel, a fire goes out. Wherever you can, just kill the fuel. If it's happening, just change the subject. Here's another one. As I said earlier, I would purposely just say something positive. If conversation is just like you're slagging people off, you're not in the room, I would just jump in and say something positive. Again, you could do this in a really sort of proud way. Do it in a gracious way, but just lift people a little bit, and often not, you know, that's enough to sort of make people realize, oh yeah, we've actually been quite negative here. Something else, I wouldn't often do this. Occasionally, if somebody's talking to me and they're having a good old complaint about somebody else, and you're sort of detecting in their heart, this is coming in a bit of a gossipy way, it's not just a concerned way. This is something actually Joel does brilliantly. I've learned from Joel. He's often said to me and to others, hey man, we must really watch their back. And it changes your mindset, being like, them. We must watch their back. So like, oh yeah, this is a brother. This is a sister I need to care for. Takes your heart from being judgmental to actually being love and a friend. And sometimes, occasionally, I can just tell some people talking to me, and I just say, yeah, we really better watch their back, hey? And you can always see, like, oh, yeah, good point. One last thing, stop a conversation. I've only ever done this once or twice, but it just felt like I had to. The context was appropriate. We're in a small group. We were sitting around a table in my lounge, in my house. So I felt like, and I was leading the small group, so it felt like a good opportunity to. We just started totally slagging someone off. And I felt so uncomfortable with it. And I was just going to do my change of subject thing, but I thought, hang on, this is a good kind of Ephesians 4 teaching opportunity. I was like, guys, what we're doing right now is talking quite negatively about this person. But I know that all of you really like them. And if they're in this room, we wouldn't do this. Let's just make an agreement that we don't do that in this group. I want people to come into here and feel built up, but this not to be a place where we slander people. That was quite a unique context where it would have been quite appropriate for me just to stop the conversation. Often it might not be. It's a bit weird if you're in the staff room at work and be like, guys, everybody stop this conversation. We should not be talking negatively. That could go badly for you. So you've got to read the occasion and just be wise how you do it. Final verse I want us to just leave with, Proverbs 11, 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. He who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Sometimes you do find out things about people. Bad things. Oh gosh, did they do that? Oh, they really like that. You know what? He who is trustworthy, and you can put a she in there too, is trustworthy in spirit, keeps a thing covered. There's such a thing as out of love, saying I'm not going to just talk about this with my mates, I'm not going to slander, I'm going to just keep this covered. You don't have to. You're not doing it because you need some significance or security. Now, you know who you are in God. Actually, what does love do? Love keeps things covered. I've noticed this, getting to know just the elders in our church. The elders in our church are such godly men, I don't think I've ever heard one of them just gossip and slander. Obviously, just as pastors and shepherds, they have to care of all kinds of situations. They cover so well. I want you to know that, just as friends at New England, you're covered and shepherded so well in this site. And as I've got to know people, I'm like, wow, gosh, you're amazing. Just choosing to constantly just keep speaking positively. And as I've grown up just around them the last few years, I think, man, I'm learning, hopefully, what it is, just to keep things covered. We all have to do this. It's not like just elders, everybody. We all know stuff. Actually, a friend who's trustworthy keeps things covered. But I want to end on this. Think again about Jesus. If knowledge is power, Christ knows everything. Everything there is to know about you. The dirtiest, juiciest gossip that could ever have about your life. The secret things that you've done, you wish no one knew about. The thoughts that you've thought. That if we were to display on this screen, you would be out of here like a shot. Just the shame. Do you know what? God knows those things about you. And he doesn't gossip them. What does he do? He keeps you covered. Christ covers you. If you're here today and you follow Jesus, you're in Christ. He's covered you. Not only does he cover you, not only are you safe in him and his shepherding of your life, but secondly, he himself on a cross took your slander. He took the mockery. People gossiped about him And that led him to a cross. People talking about him, falsely accusing him. Our Savior took the slander, took the accusation, took the gossip so that he could cover you. This is our God. This is who we're going to come to now as we take communion. Come to the tables to take bread and wine. As you're eating the bread, think about his body beaten up on a cross that should have been yours. You don't have to go out of here and have a sacrifice for your sin because he was for you. When you're drinking that grape juice, think of his blood that flows. That means forgiveness for you. If you're here today, I need to know forgiveness. Man, I know I've been a gossip. As you're drinking that wine, you think, oh no, forgiveness for my sins. Let's remember our Jesus as we worship him. We're going to stay seated for the moment.